Palmer. St. Helena, California, July 2, 1901. Palmer, Nashville, Tennessee. My dear brother, I have received and read your letter. Thank you for writing. Please do not feel one jot of trouble in regard to the carriage which you proposed I should have. I can get along very well without the investment which, in the kindness of your heart, you wished to make. I thank you for your goodwill, and wish now to say that it will be a relief to me if nothing is done about the carriage. I fear that should I appear with such a nice equipage, the right influence would not be exerted. Do not invest $1 on my account, but do all you can to help the southern field. I shall feel better not to accept your kind offer. Please to regard my choice in this matter. I shall appreciate you just as highly as though you were able to carry out your purpose to the letter. We are very near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be sure to put your whole heart and mind into the work. It is not safe for you to be associated in business matters with worldly society. You have been on the very brink of ruin. You have wasted a great many opportunities for doing good with the means entrusted to you. But the Lord has thoughts of mercy towards you because He loves you. He is giving you both a trial. If you stand the test, it will be of more value to you than any money or prosperity could be. If you had money now, you would willingly invest it in the work. But it is withheld to teach you lessons which, if learned, will be of the greatest advantage to you. The Lord is extending His mercy to you and your wife. You, who were dead, hath He quickened by a mighty infusion of spiritual life. He has placed your feet in the narrow path. The way He marks out for you will at times seem to you inconsistent to follow, but it is the only way in which you can be sanctified and ennobled. Instead of leaving you to stumble along in darkness, God has placed you in a safe and sure path. He has caused you to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He has done this not because of your goodness or worthiness, but because of the free promptings of His grace, because He is rich in mercy, because of the great love wherewith He loves you. He has bestowed boundless love upon you, for He has given you a glimpse of Himself. He has delivered you from the power of darkness and hath translated you into the kingdom of His dear Son. Colossians 1, verse 13. He is very desirous that you shall perfect such a character that you will be fitted to stand with those who are purified and made white and tried. He does not want you to be under the dominion of the power of darkness. He has placed you and your family where you are willing subjects and objects of His peculiar regard. Oh, what love! What amazing love! But do not suppose that your path will always be smooth, that no temptations will come. You will be tried. But remember always that you are not your own, that you have been bought with a price, and that therefore you are to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. If you walk in harmony with God, you will see ways and means for advancing His kingdom, and He will accept your service. The battle is still before you. It depends upon your individual efforts whether you see the beautiful mansions Christ has gone to prepare for you. Perseverance in full and entire obedience to God's will and God's way will obtain for you a crown of life. Then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of Christ's righteousness. If you endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, you will receive the reward of the overcomer. You will be laborers together with God and in His providence, through a faithful study of His word, will be able to teach others His precious truth. I have just read your letter again, and I cannot see that the steps taken were anything but right. When the Lord has so manifestly indicated Nashville as the place in which the work is to be advanced, most certainly let it be advanced there. When it comes to making everything amenable to Battle Creek, to be controlled by Battle Creek, I shall protest with pen and voice. We have had regular lines until we want some irregular lines to see if they will make any better showing than the regular lines have done. If the Lord is with the workers at Nashville, we shall see of the salvation of God. Peculiar difficulties will arise which will tax the patience, try the faith, and prove the steadfastness of the workers. But let us remember that we have a heaven to win and a hell to shun. Let us face the difficulties. Let us be men and women of steadfast principle.
Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians 6, verse 11 to 18. When you read this letter, you will better understand the position I occupy and must maintain. We are none of us warring to obtain the mastery, but to maintain principle, firm, unyielding, ever-ennobling Bible principle. All men have not faith, and because of this, unbelief will often bar the way. May the Lord give clear eyesight to His servants. May He grant that men's ideas and opinions shall not be allowed to prevail as the voice of God. Let us walk in faith and hope and charity, in willing obedience to the truth. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Growth in grace is an imperceptible process, but the results testify to the power of God. He who is growing in grace will increase in spiritual vigor, in sincerity, in earnestness, in power, in much love.